presented by MotoXaddicts.com. I'm Chris Cooksey with my buddy Dan Lamb. This is our weekly power rankings. These are released on MotoXaddicts.com, and we're here to explain. We base our rankings on who we think the 10 strongest riders are in both the 250 and 450 classes. Essentially, if the season started today, we disregard everything, point standings, and we decide who our top 10 riders are if they started the season right now to finish it out. Dan, I'm going to start with the 450 class. So what I have in my 450 top 10 is I started with Eli Tomac, then I went Marvin Musquin, Justin Barcia, Ken Roczen, Blake Baggett, Benny Bloss, Justin Hill, Weston Pike, Cooper Webb, and rounding out my top 10 was Filthy Phil Nicoletti. Who do you got?
Not much of a difference. I mean, I got Tomac up top, kind of a no-brainer. Marvin Musquin, Justin Barcia, Ken Roczen in fourth, Blake Baggett in fifth. Cooper Webb, I stuck with him in sixth. Weston Pike in seventh, Justin Hill in eighth, Benny Bloss in ninth. And for the first week, I mean, some of the listeners might not know we do this every week, but for the first week, I put Lorenzo Lacircio, the Venezuela guy, in tenth. I think he earned it.
Venezuelan guy, huh?
Yeah, I didn't know. I was going to come up with something like clever, but I couldn't. I lost it.
That's awesome. Dude, well, his accent throws me for a little back east twang with like the, it's a different accent that I've literally never heard. I actually had to giggle, so.
Well, I talked to him this week, and he said he learned English in South Georgia, and that's where it came from. So, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, total sense right there. Okay, I have a problem with your list.
I know you do.
So how do you not have Filthy Phil Nicoletti in your top 10?
I just don't know where I was going to put him, and it really came down to Lorenzo and him, and Lorenzo went 7-7 last week. He seems to be getting better every week. I did interview him this week. Maybe I'm feeling a little biased from our, 45-minute conversation we had, but he went by Phil in both motos. The first moto, he came from 17th and went by Phil. We're going back to sand. I think, all things equal, I put Phil above Lorenzo all day long. I just feel like Lorenzo's going to, of the two, if I just had to pick between the two to put him in the top 10, and it did just come down to those two, I just feel like Lorenzo has momentum. He's feeling it right now. 7-7 last week, his career best, his in any class, whether 250 or 450. I just think he's feeling it, and I think he sounded really confident going into Redbud. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't freak if Phil beat him.
I got to call you a homer on this one. It's just because you talked to the dude for 45 minutes. You really like him.
Fair enough.
If you really had your own money on the line, I do believe you'd go with Phil. But I see the point. Listen, he's right there on the bubble. It's hard to argue with the 7-7 in the sand. But, I see where you're coming from. But I also think you got a little bit of, you like the kid. He seems like a good kid, so that's cool. And then the other issue I had with your top 10 is Cooper Webb. Really? Six?
I think last week was just kind of a getting reacclimated, putting his feet back in, getting his feet wet again. Man, he's always been so good at Redbud. I think he's going to show up this week. I do. I think six is probably overreaching. It is overreaching, but I like him in six for this race. I really do. I think he's better than Weston Pike. I think he's better than Justin Hill. I think he's better than Benny Bloss, and I think he's better than Lorenzo or Phil Nicoletti in this situation at Redbud. I just really do. So I kept him at six.
Guys, not this season. Dude, I don't think that leg's 100% healed, and seeing the way he rode at Southwick, I'm just not a believer in 1 week that he can pick up what he needs to with these guys, Justin Hill, Weston Pike, Benny Bloss, who have been racing week in and week out. I think you're crazy to put Weston Pike. I don't get that one at all, and Justin Hill I can see, because who knows what's going on. He may run top three. He may run 20th. It just depends on what side of the bed he wakes up on.
I get it, but you're acting like Cooper went 15-17 at Southwick. I mean, he finished eighth overall. He went 8-9. He rode well. I think two spots up from his first week back at Southwick at a track that he's won, at a track that he's really comfortable at. I just don't think that's an overreach with Cooper. Not too much of one. Maybe a little. But I like six. I mean, the more I think about it, the more I look at what everything, I like it even more. And the fact that you don't like it, I like it even that much more.
Comfortable. That's not something that he said a lot on a 450.
Fair enough.
I kind of want to talk a little bit about the guys in the front. So Tomac did what Tomac does. He, you know, he's by far the fastest man, well, other than Jeffrey Herlings, on Earth. And that's debatable. I can't wait to see that at the Destination. But Musquin, what do you think? What did you think of that first moto?
Man, I thought it was an awesome first moto, obviously. I mean, it was amazing. I thought Tomac was going to go right. I thought Tomac was going to catch him and go by him, but it took him pretty much the whole moto to get to him. And then till the last lap to get by him. I thought it was just one of the best motos of the year. I'm surprised Marvin let him by on the last lap, but Tomac wasn't, I mean, he just wasn't going to give up. That was the bottom line, and he stopped it in there and got it done. I don't have much to say about it other than Musquin kind of surprised me, because I really did expect Tomac to be like he was in the second moto in both motos.
Dude, I just love watching those two go at it. You can just like feel the hatred between them. And both dudes seem like they would saw the other guys off at high speed. They don't even care. They really, really don't like each other, and they can't even fake it. But while I was impressed with their ride, I was disappointed that Barcia didn't stay a little bit closer to him.
I was too.
I mean, they're just in a class of their own. I hope those guys can catch up a little bit more, so it's not such a two-man race out front.
I wasn't that surprised. I mean, Barcia, he's really good on that track. He grew up on that track. But I don't see him making up the kind of time he needs to. I mean, he's been a minute behind, 50 seconds behind. As much as he likes Southwick, I didn't expect him to be much closer.
Yeah, I did. And I've been looking for him to have a breakout ride and win a moto or battle for the win or something like that. But it hasn't quite developed. And then, you know, Ken Roczen, I expected him to get better. Unfortunately, with those serious injuries that he's had, I don't have any inside knowledge or anything, but I just think that there's scar tissue and things don't heal week in and week out like muscles. And he might even have to have some cleanup work done, because it doesn't look like it's positive. And I know he's getting a lot of flack for changing suspension brands, and it hasn't really gone better since he switched from Showa to KYB.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the problem. But then again, like I said, I don't know, but the bike looks good to me.
Something's definitely changed. I mean, look at where he was at Thunder Valley and Glen Helen. I don't know if he crashed during the week. I don't know if something's flared up, but something's happened. You don't lose a minute on guys you were battling with the week before. And he's amazing in the sand. He's amazing at tracks like this. So it's not the fact that we went to sand. It's not the fact that Muddy Creek had ruts. I mean, there are two totally different tracks, and he was way back on both of them. And Muddy Creek's a lot like High Point. So it's weird that he's lost so much time over these last 3 weeks when he was there. And I didn't expect him to get much better as the year went on, like incredibly better. But when he was right there, when you're right there, I expected him to stay at least where he was. So I'm very surprised. He was, you know, over a minute back in Southwick. Fifth place shouldn't be a minute back from first, but we'll talk about that at another date. But he's over a minute back, and in a general normal AMA season, that would put him 15th or something. So he's lucky the class is very shallow right now, and he can be a minute back and be fifth. But I a minute 18, I'm looking at that in the first
shallow
moto.
I would say it's empty. I don't ever remember the class being this shallow, which if I was a privateer, I'm licking my chops because I can go out there and get a really respectable finish, whereas other years you're just looking to maybe qualify or break top 20. But and then, yeah, so you don't buy the fact that the suspension ruined him?
No, I just think there's... Something had to have happened with him. You don't go from battling with guys to a minute and 20 behind them, you know, that quickly without something. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just he decided to back it down. Maybe he thought he was doing too much, but he seemed so smooth and it looked effortless at both Glen Helen and Thunder Valley. And it looked effortless. So I don't know what's going on.
I fully believe he's probably going to have a surgery. We'll see, but I think he's going to have something done right after to clean up some scar tissue.
Yeah.
Just take a full month off to heal. And I think as long as he just continues to do this and doesn't hurt himself, he'll be ready to go next year. And that's what I really want. I could care less whether he does good this year or not. I just want him to get that base so that he can ride Supercross without having to cringe every time I look like he's going to fall down because you don't know if his arm's made of glass or what. So that's all I want.
Yeah.
And then another guy that you have brought to my attention, who has probably been your disappointment of the year, Blake Baggett. What's your thoughts on him?
He's just off the pace. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I mean, he came into the year relatively healthy. I mean, he's supposed to be building on a year, which last year he was incredible, right with these guys. I mean, in his words, they've broken him. He just,
you went there.
I don't know how else to put it. He's got nothing for him. And it's, I don't know. There's no real signs of, I mean, he was a minute behind as well at Southwick. It's just, that's too much.
You know what? I have a theory on Blake. And do you remember in Salt Lake, I asked him in the press conference about his wrist. His, you know, he had issues with it at the Atlanta Supercross, and I wasn't sure if it had healed up or not. And the answer he gave me was actually alarming. Like, if I'm Forrest and I just signed him to a long-term deal and I hear a guy say what he said, I'm probably shitting a brick. Basically, he said that his wrist is where it is, and it's not getting any better.
I remember that.
It's a chronic problem. This isn't just an injury. And if it's this bad right now, I am really, really worried for what I mean, what do you do when it's gone like that? I panic if I'm Forrest or Blake, and I'm going to see specialists, and hopefully he can get that thing figured out, but it doesn't look good.
I think it's been the same since the year after he broke it, since the year after he won his title. I think it's pretty much been the same. So I don't know that I would freak out that much, because he's obviously shown he can ride through it in the past. So I don't know that it's his wrist. I don't know if he's just not comfortable. I don't know. Maybe Tomac and Musquin are just that freaking good right now.
He's getting beat by Barsha and Roxon.
Yep.
Guys that weren't even in his zip code last year.
Handily, too. I mean, handily. He's not. Barsha's got him covered right now, and that's a surprise to me.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I would like to. How great would it be if he could figure it out and get up there and add one more dude to that mix? Anything else you want to touch on the 450 class?
No, not too much. I mean, I'd like to see Bogle do more this week. I don't know, you know, two hole shots, faded way back. He can't be real happy. I'd like to see all of JGR do better this week. That was sad last week. But I think Bogle's going to be good. I think he's going to be a lot better this week.
He's got the talent. I mean, the dude pulls, I mean, he jumps out there, runs really good. He's been off for a really long time. I mean, he really hasn't raced since last year outdoors. I mean, he rode Monster Cup, got jacked up, rode Supercross, got jacked up, but he wasn't healthy there. I mean, it's been a rough go for that kid. And he said he wasn't going to come back until he was fast, but you just can't simulate race situations. And he knew he didn't have the, you know, the cardio to do it. I think we're looking at one more week where he's probably going to suck. I'm looking for probably like a 12th to 15th range this week. Then you give him the week off, and then I look for him to break the top five. And he's got that talent where if he gets a hole shot, he can win.
He's riding for a job, so he needs to. I mean, he really needs to. I like that kid in the sport.
Yeah, well, I have to think there's a job for him. I mean, you don't think JGR is going to keep him?
I haven't heard anything of the sort either way, but I don't know that they will unless he does something, unless he shows something. He hasn't done much. And, he's better outdoors. That doesn't necessarily get you signed. We'll see. I mean, it's one of those things. This is a huge offseason. There's so many people up for grabs right now. There's so many big names that need to be signed. I don't know where he fits in on that, but He's that second tier guy. It's just, is he at the top of the second tier, or is he the bottom of the second tier? I think is where we're kind of placing him here as the season goes. And if he's on the bottom of the second tier, he could end up out.
Yeah, and a lot of that depends on. I personally would classify him as the higher part of that second tier.
I would too,
depends
but
on if his agent sees it that way too. And they price him accordingly.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
Do you take Dean Wilson or Justin Bogle? I mean, there's going to be questions like that are really, you know, really, really thought provoking when you don't know which way to go.
Joey Savacci, Dean Wilson.
Yep.
Justin Bogle. Benny Bloss. Who do you go with?
Yeah, it's rough. I mean, I hear Savacci's already locked in at Kawasaki, so who knows?
Sure.
No, I don't know. I just what I hear. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that too, but I don't know locked that in. I also heard Vogel was discussing with them, but I don't know. You know how it is. It's silly season. Who knows?
Yeah. So I think I'd take Savacci on that just because I think there's a huge upside. He's new. It's fresh. It's something different. I think of those guys you mentioned, I do take Savacci, which might be a little weird, but I think I'd give him a shot.
Speaking of Savacci, let's transition here into the 250 class where, man, my boy Dylan Ferrandis has really been making me look smart. So in the 250 class.
Yes, he has.
I got Dylan Fernandez, or should I say Dylan? Dylan Fernandez. I get mad when everyone calls him that, and then I did it. So
you did it twice. You did it twice, yeah.
Oh, I hate that. I get mad when other people do it, and then I did it. So I got Dylan Fernandez, Aaron Plessinger, Alex Martin, Shane McElrath, Austin Faulkner, Justin Cooper, RJ Hampshire, Joey Savacci.
Oh, what two do I have here? I've got, I put Alex Martin up top. He finished second at Red Bud last year, so I'm going to give it to him. I think he should have won the overall last week, so I'm just going to start justifying that right now. I put Alex Martin up front. I put Dylan Ferrandis second. I moved Aaron Plessinger down to third. I put Faulkner in fourth. Shane McElrath in the top five. Cooper, Hampshire, Chase Sexton in eighth. Joey Savacci, and I finally put Colt Nichols on there in 10th.
It took you so long to put Colt Nichols on there. Dude, that guy can ride one-handed to 10th place. I mean, basically, that's what he's doing. So, yeah, I was shocked that it took you so long to put him on there, but nice job. Congratulations.
The class is so deep, man. I mean, I had to move Jordan Smith off, who I think also should be in the top 10. The class is, it's amazing how the contrast of the 450 to 250. The 250 class literally has probably 15 world-class riders that could go over to MX2. And win races. I mean, RJ Hampshire won the USGP last year, and he's barely a top five guy on good days right now here. It's just amazing how deep that class is right now.
Well, how many of these guys are actually eligible for MX2 over there? Because most of them are over 23.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Not many.
That's a crazy rule. We both talked about that, and I don't want to, we'll save that for another day.
Yeah.
So, I just don't understand how you can not have Dylan Ferrandis first. So, dude, he just won.
I get that, but he's really lucked into these. The second motos have been, he went like 11, I don't know exactly what it was, but like 11-2 to get a podium, 10-1, 4-1. Even if he went by Martin and Faulkner, Martin would have won the overall this week too. It's just weird things have been happening to give him these spots. I think he's...
No. Two.
He was fourth in the first moto.
Oh, okay.
No.
2-3, if Faulkner stays ahead of him, but shoulda, woulda, coulda. The thing is, Martin felt that pressure coming and flat lost his mind.
That's true.
I don't know what he was thinking when he torpedoed Faulkner, but hey, I'm not saying that it's that big of a deal. Everyone makes mistakes. Only thing I had an issue with is kind of blaming Faulkner for it. Like,
that was awesome.
Like, you just launched into the guy. You can't blame him.
That was awesome. He's like, yeah, we've seen a lot of those moves from Faulkner throughout the year or something. It was awesome. I love Alex. I think he's a good dude, but yeah.
He's one of the good guys in the sport, but I was like, wait. Not sure what you're saying there, Alex. And then I'm like, well, do you have hard feelings towards him? Like, what's going on? Like, I felt like there's more to the story, and I really, like I wrote this week, I really wish these guys had kind of let it go a little bit more and tell us, you know, hey, the dude's, because sometimes on TV we can't see whether they're crossing lines and they know who's dirty and we are kind of at their mercy to tell us who's dirty. And that was the feeling I got from Alex, is he was just frustrated. And maybe from what's happened to him the last, 2-3 weeks, I'd be frustrated too. And he just happened to take it all out on poor Austin, so...
What do you think Austin felt like? You know, he gets Alex. Alex walks all the way over to his pits to apologize to him. And then he reads these interviews and the press conference where Alex is like throwing shade and throwing blame his way. Thanks for the apology, yeah. Alex.
Well, it kind of undoes the... You can't apologize. You go on TV and say, you know, the comment that he made. You just... if I'm Faulkner... Can't come apologize to me and then say it's my fault on TV.
What about all the talk about Faulkner being kind of a sissy boy, not getting up? And I mean, everybody that's raced has had the wind knocked out of them. We all have. It's just weird. I mean, we have been hearing a lot of that this week that, you know, it was barely a crash. Why did he lay there for so long?
I'll tell you what, that pisses me off. That genuinely pisses me off when people call him a sissy boy or say that he's soft. First off, nobody at that level is soft. You don't get to that level by being soft.
Oh, no.
But,
yeah.
So soft is a relative term when they're saying that. Maybe, like I say, you know, sometimes I say Tomac's not mentally strong. Not on a regular people, like on a super people level, you know, in that elite group. And in that group, I don't know, man. You know how it is when you're exhausted. Go ahead, go out, run and exhaust yourself in the heat as much as possible, and then let somebody punch you in the gut as hard as you can. You tell me if you can move. And here's the thing, too, is every single crash is different. I've had crashes that look like that one that didn't look that bad, where I couldn't move, and then I've had spectacular ones where I damn near bounced back onto my bike. It's just something you can't judge. I mean, I get the one at Hangtown was a little bit weird, and
I think I said something to you about that one when it happened.
That was just strange.
I've
never ever heard of the bike popping up and hitting a rib, and you know, and then to have him doing those big jumps at Paula on Instagram.
Yeah,
that's fair, but this week I don't think it's fair. But yeah, you combine the two, and I see where people are coming from. I disagree. I think the kid's savage, and I just think he's young, man. He just needs to mature a little bit. And, you know, the rumors more than being soft, I worry about his commitment. And I know how I was at that age. And, you know, he's getting a lot of attention from girls, and you know that's more what I'd be worried about than being soft. So.
Yeah, Austin's taking advantage of his spot with the ladies. I'm sure of it. How do you put Plessinger second? How do you put Plessinger second over Alex Martin on a track where Alex was way better than him last year, on a track that's sandy, that's just like Millville? It's what Alex grew up on. Plessinger has never been good there. I get that you put Dylan first, I guess, kind of, but how do you put Plessinger above Martin at a track like this?
Just think head to head. Plessinger beats Martin every time.
At Redbud.
Everywhere. He can't close the deal. Plessinger, if he's close. The thing I worry about Plessinger, and I don't know this, but I don't know. Did you see his face when they interviewed him after that first moto?
I didn't, know.
I don't know if he's struggling from some sort of a heat exhaustion or what's going on. It doesn't look good, and it's kind of alarming to me to see him looking like that, because he's got 1-1 speed whenever he chooses to, or just at random.
For sure.
You think Amart could go 1-1 at any moment?
Yes. Will he?
No way. He never has.
without Zach and Jeremy in the field, yes, Alex can go Alex can go 1-1 at any moment. He just needs to keep it on two wheels.
Over Dylan? No way.
You are on the Dylan train big time. And what's funny is I'm a huge fan of the kid. I love him. I'm slowly giving him, I think I've given him the exact respect that he deserves, and I've got him in second now. I think that's whereabouts he needs to be, but you are really leading the train on this one.
Dude, and part of that is maybe just because our sport needs a heel. We need a bad guy. We need a true evil Frenchman. And the fans are treating Marvin that way, but like you've said, Dylan, he really would be, and I think he can embrace that. And I think that's what it's really going to take to get us to that next level for the sport, is a rivalry where people just, they pay attention. Half the people just want to see him get his ass kicked. And, you know, well, actually, in this case, the French guy, so it'd be 80% want to see him get his ass kicked and 20 like him. But he can embrace that and run with it. That's why I'm on the Dylan train.
Dylan is not scared to speak his truth either, man. If he feels it, he will say it. And that kid's just straight to the point, and I love him for that. And I if he starts winning, I think he will possibly get that, because he's one of those, he's kind of arrogant, and I think that's when people start really hating on the French, is when he's arrogant. And a lot of times it's misconstrued, it's as, you know, just confidence for arrogance because they're French, they don't speak the language. But Dylan's definitely got that attitude that could come off that way, and I'd love it if it does. We do need a John Gerard, Ricky Bobby thing. I don't think Tomac and Musquin are quite that, but if Dylan was the Frenchman, I think it could get to that.
Yeah, Marv's just too nice. I mean,
he is.
See his interviews and,
yeah.
You know, when they boo him, I just want to, like, give him a hug, you know?
I don't ever hear that. I read your thing about him booing him. I've been to God knows how many races. I've never, other than the Dungy, you know, when he let Dungy by, I don't remember hearing Dylan. Maybe he did, and I just didn't hear it, but I don't remember ever hearing him get booed.
Go back to Southwick and just do the podium speech and just listen in the background. It's pretty bad.
Okay, that's fair.
So what's going on with Justin Cooper? You were pretty hot on him in practice, and now you've got him down there. You dropped him. What's up? What do you think?
I was just going to bring that up. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's just getting a little ahead of himself. I think he's starting to feel that thing. And then when we lost Zach and Jeremy, I think he really like, oh, shit, I could win this title. And I think he might have just got a little ahead of himself. Maybe it's just little mistakes, and it's got nothing to do with that. But that's kind of how it feels right now, is maybe he's trying to bite off a little more than he can chew. I thought either him or Ferrandis were for sure going to win. At least I got half right. But, man, he's so damn fast, and I think he's just maybe he tried a little too hard when we lost the two title hopes.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like anyone's still alive. I damn near think Dylan's alive. Like,
he's not dead.
Right,
yeah.
I can't ever remember a series being this wide open. You have to go all the way back to when Langston took the outdoor title. Is the last one that I saw that was this wide open. I mean, if I'm Savachi, I don't mail it in. I mean, you gotta. Anyone that goes on a run and wins 4 to 6 straight motos could take this thing. Right?
There's only six. There's only 12 motos left, though. And, I mean, Dylan, as you call him, is 122 points back. That's a lot.
But that's the thing, is we're halfway. And
that's a lot.
If you can lose 100, you can make 100.
He didn't lose 100, though.
I'm just saying, he's probably not going to win. I'm going to say that. But you start at Savachi at 120. Genuinely, Plessinger, he would need some help, but if he wins, you know, 6 motos in a row, it's going to look a lot more realistic. But
what about McElrath? Is this for real what we're seeing here? Is this what we're going to see the rest of the year?
I would think so. And you and I both agree that I don't know that that was necessarily a fade, and I wish
these
guys would stop not telling us what the hell went on. But it sure looked like a clutch or something went wrong with the bike. Because if you're that tired, you sure don't come out in the next moto and, you know, put in a solid finish. You just don't.
Yeah, for those that don't know what we're talking about, Cooksey's talking about the first moto where Shane led and had an 8-second lead and somehow faded back to, what did he end up, 6th?
Pretty far back there, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think he ended up 6th. And, I mean, he dropped 12, 15 seconds off his lap times, and it was just really weird. You know, everybody was announcing it's a fade. It's Southwick. He's never been out of shape. He did talk about struggling with the bike, and I think that was his way of saying it was the bike without saying it. Because he talked a lot about it and, like, kept pushing the fact that they struggled with the bike all day.
So, yeah, we both agree that that was probably the case.
And yeah.
To come out and get second in the second moto kind of proves that was the case, so...
Yeah,
I think he's for real, and there's another guy that could. God, this thing's wide open. These guys, we just need a run on it. And I love this class. This is by far. I want to say it's the feature, but damn, if the 450 guys, you know, Marv and Eli, keep up their hatred like this, it's a good series, man. I'm really pumped on the outdoors right now, even with the issues we're having, where it's a little bit thin in the 450s, and you know, it's usually the dog days where I kind of. Stop paying quite as much attention this year. It's not. I'm still just as excited.
Even with the top two out, we have 20, you know, factory or factory backed bikes on the line in that class. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
Sorry. 10 of them could win. I mean, easy. 12 maybe. I mean, it's just, it's wild.
If anyone in our power rankings gets a start and gets a couple lucky breaks, they could win.
For sure. Yeah. Anyone. Yeah, no doubt.
So you dropped,
I dropped Smith.
Sexton. Dropped Smith?
I did.
Did you have Sexton in there?
I have Sexton in there. I should.
Unless, how do you drop Smith and keep Sexton?
Track.
Really?
Track. Track.
I don't see it. And I get that Smith was out.
It's so tough. I mean, there's not much. I mean, it's we're talking about hairs right here. I mean, we are splitting them. It's so close between those guys. I mean, any of them can come in and out. I want to do a top 20 in the 250 class just so I make sure I include everybody.
Like, a couple of guys right there on the bubble I leave out, I'm like, gosh, seriously, you could just flip a coin or I could make an argument to put them in or out. So,
oh, for sure. Any of them.
Yeah. All right, Dan. Well, hey, I don't want to keep this. We're going to keep this podcast pretty short. This power ranking is just a quick kind of run through the top 10, why we put the guys, where we put the guys. So, you know, this will be a weekly podcast, and, you know, we do read your guys' comments on photoxaddicts.com, Facebook. So feel free to pick a side, tell us we're idiots, or whatever else is on your mind. And thanks for listening, and until next week, stay out of jail, guys.
Happy 4th.